Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Let's go to Ukraine now. Check in with Joseph Lindsley. And hopefully it was a quiet weekend there. Joseph, how are you? What's new?
Hey, Bob. Good afternoon from Lviv. I've returned to my home base here. I arrived on the via the overnight train. And, you know, it was quite remarkable to be traveling on a train during a wartime in this country. In Kyiv, there was high security at the train station, but everyone is calm. And I just can't imagine that in many other countries. And really impressed at how they've maintained somehow society keeps going. And, you know, while you're on the rails, you realize that the rail lines are a target of the Russians because that's how supplies are moved. And so the security really has been amazing. I'm back in Lviv after I was traveling for about a month around the country, it seems. And I spent the past few days in Kyiv, in the capital. And on Saturday, there was a moment that, for me, I think really underscores what this war is about. There was a funeral of a young warrior. He was 24 years old, named Roman Ratushny. I mentioned him last week. I knew him. I was working with him last fall on some anti-corruption reporting and to one of the work he was doing in Kyiv. They had his funeral and they had a gathering of more than 1,000 people on the main square of Kyiv, which is the same square that Maidan, where they had the revolution in 2014. This guy, Roman, when he was only 16 years old, he was in that square as a student leader. And being there, it reminded me of that's what this war is about. In 2014, the people, not the government, the people of Ukraine said, we will not be governed by puppets of Putin or anyone else. We will determine our own destiny. And people like Roman, who he was shot fighting outside of Izyum in the Kharkiv region, not far from Donetsk. Very intense fighting there. The Ukrainians have lost a lot of ground there the past weeks. He was shot fighting there for the same cause that he stood for when he was 16 years old in 2014.
It's amazing just hearing about your travels and on the train there. I hope there weren't any loud noises to scare you at any point, because you have to always be thinking about the possibility of a missile attack wherever you are there, right?
You do. And I mean, it was actually very peaceful, calm. I was able to sleep on the train. Fortunately, there was not very good Wi-Fi service, you know, as you're traveling through the hinterlands. So you can't check the maps to see where the alarms are. And so you had sort of an ignorance is bliss, which, you know, and it was the best peace of mind we could have. Yeah. But as I passed through small villages as the sun was rising and I saw people waiting at little train stations, you know, preparing to go somewhere else in the country or go to work, you know, realized that all of those people could be, you know, were under threat because the Russians have been targeting a lot of that infrastructure.
I wonder when the day comes and you're back here in the States, Joseph, if you'll have PTSD, if you'll appreciate our life here even more than ever. I wonder how you're going to feel. You ever think about that?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, especially speaking with foreign, you know, Americans who come here to fight. And, you know, I've met a lot of Afghanistan veterans who came here. They were angry about the way things ended in Afghanistan. And so they came here to sort of have a noble cause to fight for. I think it's hard to return to some kind of normal life. And one thing I've seen, and I felt that at the train station as we were going through the security checks, which never happened before the war. But you know how everyone's in solidarity together and what that does for a nation. And maybe, you know, I know America, this can be fairly divisive. And here we don't have that anger among the people because the anger is all directed toward the outside enemy and everyone's working together to survive. And so I think that is something I would miss.
Mm-hmm. You know what? It's probably the way we were here in the United States after 9/11, all for one and one for all.
I think it absolutely is. But I think that in Ukraine, this did not start just with February 24th. I really think it all goes back to 2014, where that's where the people realize if we unite, we can govern ourselves. And there's a Ukrainian intellectual who, in the wake of that funeral on Saturday, he wrote these words. He said, we have a real working democracy. A lot of times the European officials say, oh, Ukraine's not democratic enough. But the point here is that The people really do govern. And this writer said, Ukrainians don't care about mayor, governor, minister, even the president is not a great authority. They really live with, you know, sort of in their communities with themselves. And that's how they've lived these past 8 years. And I think everything I've seen here, and this is what I would miss leaving this country, is the healthiness of the democracy here, which I think would surprise a lot of people because we only hear about the corruption.
Interesting to hear that at a time when our democracy is being challenged. One other thing I wanted to ask you about, Joseph, I was reading an interesting piece, a retired admiral here talking about the war in Ukraine dragging on, and a number of observers are beginning to ask, will the West grow tired of supporting Ukraine? But at the same time, there's a number of folks who are wondering whether the Ukraine war is becoming Putin's Vietnam. What's your take on that?
This has been the topic of many conversations through my travels, into the east of the country and especially in Kyiv. You know, I asked some friends in Washington, what's the sense of most people who work in defense and politics in Washington? And several friends told me that they think about 90% of Washington wants the war to continue to drag on for various reasons. One of them is to keep sort of defense contractors happy. And even if they don't think about that intentionally. So you have some people who might have an interest in this going on for a while. I talked with a British warrior, and he said, you know, the reality is war is about how many humans die. That's a sad reality, even with all the technology. And that's what we're seeing right now in these brutal battles in the east of Ukraine. Russia has so many resources that it can keep punching Ukraine until the world gets a little bit bored. Or the world gets maybe afraid. And that's what we're seeing with the supply chain problem. Now, I think yesterday or today, a UN official said that the blockade that is preventing food from getting to Africa and around the world is a war crime. But I think it's actually that's what Putin's war strategy. He wants the world to feel the pain so that they eventually bow and bend to his will and let him take over Ukraine.
We so appreciate your perspective. So interesting. Joseph Lindsley, editor of Ukrainian Freedom News. And let's say congratulations to Teresa from Elmwood Park. She was the winner of the Ukrainian flag today, Joseph.
Teresa, I would say in Ukrainian, Molodets, well done and congratulations.
There you go. And Joseph, we'll connect tomorrow. Stay safe.
Thank you, Bob.